Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
Pretty painted house in a city part of town. You settle down.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The band called Cymbals Eat Guitars gets its unusual name from a Lou Reed quote, where he was describing the sound of his band, the Velvet Underground. Like the VU, Cymbals Eat Guitars has shown an affinity for playing with light and dark, with soft and loud. Their new album is called Pretty Years, and it might be their most ambitious and fully realized effort yet. They're here in our studio today to play some of that new batch of songs for us, beginning with one called Have a Heart. Here, live on Soundcheck, is Cymbals Eat Guitars. That is the band Cymbals Eat Guitars, live here in the Soundcheck studio with a song called Have a Heart from their brand new album called Pretty Years, which comes out on Friday. The band's here today playing for us: Joseph D'Agostino on voice and guitar, Matt Whipple playing bass, Brian Hamilton behind the keyboards, Andy Dole playing the drums. Joseph, to you and the rest of the band, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you, John.
That's a little bit of a different kind of song for you, simply because it's a simple love song, it seems.
Yeah.
On an album that's full of kind of elliptical lyrics and dark-hued songs, it stands out for that reason.
That was pretty intentional. I tried to write a different kind of song than we had previously.
Yeah. So you hadn't written just a simple love song before?
Definitely not. Not even in my teens. Not even at the very outset of my songwriting.
Yeah.
Just never did it. It was always sad. Sad and lonely.
So what was, I mean, Pretty Years is the name of the record. What was the intention going into this album? Did you have it in mind to make something that was, in fact, different from the three records that have come before?
We had always, I think, kind of had that, gone into the studio with that kind of directive, but we had layered a bit too much to sound like we do live on our previous three. But this one kind of has that live feel to it, I think. There's a rawness in the performances and an impactfulness in the production that kind of makes it really punchy and ear-catching, which yeah. is what we tried to do.
And you mentioned the production. The album was produced by John Congleton.
That's right.
Who, if I start listing a list of names of people he's produced, will be here all day.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
Yeah. So how did that meeting of the minds happen?
He just messaged us on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah.
He contacted you?
Yeah, we had toured with a band called This Will Destroy You, and
right.
Alex, the actually now former drummer from that band, he sort of, I guess, probably showed John our music, possibly. Mm. Can't really say for sure, but he contacted us, and we were like, sure.
John Congleton wants to produce us. Time to do a record.
Yeah. Exactly. It's album time.
Now, in the press release that comes out announcing the record, Matt is quoted as saying that, you know, he was thinking of bands like Springsteen, 70s Bowie, The Smith, The Cure, etc. Now, is he speaking for all of you, or was that just Matt?
I think we're all definitely big fans of all those acts. And, you know, I mean, that's a tier of greatness that you rarely see rock bands reach for nowadays. And, I mean, we just wanted to try.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely, those are definitely influences for all of us.
And Matt, so, you know, was that in your mind's ear when you guys entered the studio?
Yeah, I think so. I didn't want to speak for the whole band, which is why I kind of phrased it that way.
Yeah.
But you know, the little bits of music that I wrote, that's kind of what I always go to. It's just what I was steeped in growing up.
Yeah. So when you guys are, you know, traveling around, when you're touring around, who's in control of the music in the van?
Whoever has an active Spotify subscription, pretty much, which is not me at the moment. So.
So what tends to be coming through the speakers between gigs?
Husker Du.
Yeah, Andy puts on a lot of Stereo Lab. They're his favorite.
Okay.
Dots and Loops. Good album.
So kind of vintage stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, some contemporary stuff. I like the new Frank Ocean record a lot.
The long-awaited album with the two spellings.
Right.
Blonde with an E and Blonde Without. Joseph, you were mentioning that you wanted to try and you feel that you have captured the sound of the live band with this new record. But the song you're going to play for us next, called Wish, has some really neat, skronky saxophone playing on it on the record. So how do you do that live?
We put it on a sampler.
And oh, so you have a sax player in a box.
Pretty much. Yeah, although at our show at Music Hall of Williamsburg this Thursday for our record release, we will have live saxophone on that song.
So who is it playing this on the record?
Do you remember the guy's name?
Yeah, his name is Mark Hartsuch. He's a Dallas session player. But actually, John Congleton didn't even really know him at the time. I think they just met when he came in. Someone recommended him.
He was in John's little book as a recommendation, called him up.
It worked. Yeah.
John told him to play like James Chance, and here we are.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, I use the word skronky, which I think is a word that people would apply to James Chance.
Yes.
This is not the first time you guys have used horns, although previously I think it was mostly trumpet, right?
Mostly layered, yeah. Trumpet. There was some trombone and trumpet on the first album, and a little trumpet on the third. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just more textural than a really in your face moment, though.
Whereas this is very much in your face.
This is a moment for sure.
All right, let's hear the performance. The song is called Wish. The band is Cymbals Eat Guitars, and the album comes out Friday. Their record release concert is Music Hall of Williamsburg on Thursday evening, the 15th. And Andy's going to be triggering both the saxophone and playing the drums in this live version of the song, Wish, from the band Cymbals Eat Guitars. Once again, Cymbals Eat Guitars is the band. Live performance here in the Soundcheck studio. The song is called Wish, from the new album by Cymbals Eat Guitars called Pretty Years. And once again, Joseph D'Agostino singing and playing guitar, Matt Whipple on bass and backing vocals, Brian Hamilton on keyboards and backing vocals, Andy Dole behind the drum kit and also triggering the contorted saxophone sounds that are so much a part of that piece. Joseph, let me ask you something. I mean, you know, it's a digital age. A lot more people are streaming than actually buying CDs or vinyl or whatever. So we don't talk about cover art a lot. But I want to ask you about the cover art for this album, because it's really kind of enigmatic. There's an open, empty coffin surrounded by candles and smoke, and then there's a vacuum cleaner standing off to the side. Care to explain?
Sure. Actually, Matt could probably better field this one.
The photo is by an artist from London by the name of Joe Broughton, and I deeply apologize if her name is actually pronounced Broughton. I've never actually spoken to her.
Ooh, okay.
But we emailed back and forth.
Broughton?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, that could go any number of ways.
Right, it could go either way. So I was looking at, I believe it was ID Magazine, did a feature on her photography, which when she was a young art student, she was a janitor at a porn studio in London. and
you now have my attention.
And as part of her working there, I guess part of the perks was that they allowed her to stage these empty porn sets with no people in them and shoot them in this very like heavy, haunting, sad way. But the thing is, if you don't know that that's what these rooms are, they're just these very eerie rooms that are devoid of people.
Yeah.
And so that's what the photo is of on the cover. It's actually a vampire or some kind of gothy-themed porn set.
With a vacuum cleaner.
Which explains the vacuum cleaner. I guess she was cleaning up, and she just decided to shoot the vacuum as well.
Wow.
So I reached out to her, and she was happy to let us use some of her photographs for our album art, and we're eternally grateful. It's our favorite album art we've ever had.
It really is. I mean, as I say, we don't normally talk about it. It's not a question I ask often, but it was just so weird.
Yeah.
And yet somehow must have struck a chord with you guys. Something must have said, that image kind of fits this sound.
It's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, using like this over-the-top coffin imagery, like in sort of an era where people are talking about how like rock is dead or some kind of silly thing like that, like people say every 20 years or so.
Right. Rock's been dying an awfully long death, hasn't it?
Since it was born.
Long, slow death.
So that was kind of where my head was at in choosing that photo.
Yeah. So, Joseph, the band started in Staten Island, right?
Well, I happened to live on Staten Island while I was attending Fordham University, Lincoln Center, and when our first record came out, it was, you know, Staten Island was sort of, I lived there, so it was, oh, well, everyone's from Brooklyn, but you're from Staten Island.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I grew up in South Jersey, near Long Beach Island, Waretown, New Jersey.
Yeah, and there is a lot of Jersey-ness in the last record, in Lose.
Yeah.
But now, you're all, except for Matt, who's in Brooklyn, the rest of you are now living in Philadelphia.
Yes, that's true.
And yet
true.
Your Facebook page still says New York band. So the whole geography thing here is really confusing me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really think it matters where our houses are or where our apartments are.
That's true. But where do you, I mean, how do you identify as a New York band?
No, we never have, even in the midst of, you know, CMJ 09 rock and roll feeding frenzy. No, we didn't really so much identify as that. All of us are from New Jersey except Andrew, who's from New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
And we give him a hard time about it, you know.
The block of granite behind the drums. Yeah. All right. So this album is kind of neutral in terms of geography. You know, there's not a lot of stuff that you would point to and say, that's Jersey.
Except the last track, Shrine, really deals with some pretty Jersey feelings.
mm-hmm.
It's the next album title, Jersey Feelings.
Feelings. Also, the track that we're about to play, while I do actually name drop the town I grew up in, Waretown, in Waretown Elementary, where I went to school.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, Mall Walking has, for sure, a very different texture, as we'll now hear. So let's have another live performance. The band is Cymbals Eat Guitars. The album's called Pretty Years, and it comes out on Friday. The band is playing at the Music Hall of Williamsburg Thursday night, the 15th, to celebrate the record release. Here's another live performance in the Soundcheck studio. We'll be right back.
jerked to me, asked if I believed. I said, believe in what? Then I woke up. Mama, take me more watching. You know that I'm an empty chair. You bought me stuff to try and fill. I think I'm
final live performance from the band Cymbals Eat Guitars. Mall Walking is the name of that song from the new record called Pretty Years. And there is, Joseph, you mentioned that there's a kind of a brief shout out to your hometown there in New Jersey and to Columbine early on in the song as well. Is this an idea that's been kicking around in your head for a while?
Yeah, gun violence in America is you know, obviously been a problem for a very long time. And I think maybe shortly after the attacks in Paris, it just got me thinking about my childhood. I mean, I was in the fifth grade when Columbine High School, when that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking about it and what I felt like at the time. And I just kind of wanted to write a song that really encapsulated all of the... all the craziness and the upheaval of being a child and no longer really feeling safe.
Yeah, and maybe not even fully understanding what's going on.
No, I mean, there was just like a terrifying, mythic kind of quality to some of the news reports on it. And
yeah.
The black trench coats and all that stuff. I you know, so there's parallels sort of image-wise in the song to that.
Yeah. Well, it's a job really well done, the album Pretty Years, which comes out on Friday and which the band is celebrating with a record release party at Music Hall of Williamsburg on Thursday night. There is one other song that we're going to use to wrap things up, Joseph, and you mentioned how three of you are now living in Philadelphia. 4th of July, Philadelphia, subtitled Sandy, seems to somehow nod to both Philadelphia and your Jersey roots, because Sandy is going to necessarily remind a lot of people of Springsteen.
That was the idea, but also the song references our buddy Alex G, and he sometimes went by Sandy in the band camp days. Yeah, the song just kind of narrates this night that I had with those guys and Alex G. We were on tour at the time, and we had an off night in Philadelphia, and some really scary stuff went down that I detail in the song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a little bit of more of a narrative song for you.
Certainly, yeah.
Yeah. We'll hear a little bit of it to wrap things up. But, guys, it's been great having you here with us in the studio today. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Step down from the center to the empty street. 4th of July, 2015.
By the way, we shot video of today's session. Find it at soundcheck.org. And if you subscribe to WNYC's YouTube channel, we'll update you every time we post new videos. That does it for this installment of the Soundcheck podcast. Thanks for listening. A joke, like Rome.